White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 550.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! Welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our beloved Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, well, we're struggling with a little connection issues, maybe some bad weather or something on the line between Illinois and Virginia, but we're going to see if we can get through it tonight. I feel like we should be okay as long as it doesn't get any worse, but that's nothing that our technology can help. It's just the phone system we have to deal with. But we are here tonight. We're going to be kind of sporadic in terms of our live-ish shows going forward. I wanted to mention this up front because I've got a family vacation coming up 1 week. You have a family vacation coming up, and so I'm thinking we're going to probably record maybe on at least one kind of like topical show as opposed to current events, and we can plug it in there. So you folks will get your AU Wishbone. We'll work overtime for you because we love you so much. So, but otherwise, how are things going in your neck of the woods, sir?
They're going well. We're just, you know, in the long off season, yep. Depths of summer.
It is.
You know, college football is a distant speck on the horizon.
I'm getting by on the Euro 2020, which is like being in a time machine and watching a tournament that was supposed to be played last year and is even being named for last year, which continually strikes me. It's like if they decided to play if they hadn't done college football last year and this year they called it the 2020 college football playoffs, you'd be like, wait, what? But yeah, that's about all we've got going on right now, that and racing and stuff. So I will be glad when the fall rolls around. But is it still blazing hot where you are? Because it's cooled off a little bit here.
Yeah, it's very warm. It's like, man, I go for a long walk like first thing in the morning every day, and we're at the time of year where even first thing in the morning, it's you're drenched in sweat when you come back.
So. It's still too hot. It's just too hot. Yeah, I go for my long walk on my elliptical in the basement down here in the Palatial White Rocket Studios, where it's always a pleasant 72 or thereabouts. Well, what kind of news we have going on? I haven't really heard much. It's been kind of quiet the last few days.
It's really no news, I got to be honest, in the last week. Nothing substantive. Some they're still recruiting some people. They had some basketball recruits around.
Yeah.
JT Thor, Shreve Cooper, and the NBA Combine and all that kind of stuff. But other than that.
Apparently Thor did really well, right? They were impressed with him?
Yeah. I think he's exceeded some people's expectations, and I think that, you know, it's looking like a good decision at this point for him. So.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody was noting, and this is not the first time, obviously, that anybody has said this or heard this, but somebody was noting, here's a guy that's exceeding expectations as he goes into the NBA, but might not have started for Auburn this year. I mean, what kind of world have I woken up and I'm living in now?
It's upside down world. I don't know, man.
It really is. The only thing I saw of any interest this week, really, was there was an article maybe this morning or yesterday that said which college basketball teams have most improved their roster from last year going into this year, and Auburn was number two. This was interesting to me. They pointed out we only really are bringing in one 2021 high school senior. Of course, he's like a 0.998 or whatever, but he's like the only one coming in. All the others are transfers, but the transfers are all so good. It had like it. They actually ranked our recruiting class 76 because we only have one player. But if you look at the new players coming on the team, it ain't 76, man.
Well, and he's just the best player in program history as a signee. So
Yeah, a little bit. So, by the way, you know what the number one team they had ranked was in terms of improving itself from last year?
I did not.
Kentucky.
Well, that's just same song, different verse. I mean, different year, same story. So.
Every year, right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I did see that Coach Krusiewski is leaving Duke after this year.
Yeah, he's done. I don't think anybody's crying about that. So.
I just wasn't expecting. I don't know. I thought, you know, I don't love the guy, but I respect his accomplishments over many years. I was expecting, Coach K, he's decided to hang it up after many years. He's done. Okay. Moving on then. Fine. You'll pitch some dirt on him and roll right along then. That's fine. that just struck me as funny as crap. Not a lot of news. So instead, you came up with a fun game we're going to play.
All right. So the game for this week is we're going to do kind of stock watch SEC teams. Yep. We're going to go through the East and then the West. And I'm going to give you a couple of facts about each team.
Ooh, you know, good. All right.
And then Van is going to give me kind of the so what we're going to do is kind of look at like the last several years. And then the question is going forward the next like 3 years, stock up, stock down, stock the same based on kind of where they are, right?
Yeah.
Where they've been. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right.
And by the way, a little disclaimer, anything that I say during this segment,
I don't have facts to back this up.
That's right. So it's all just off the top of my head. We'll see how it goes.
All right. We'll start with your hometown Missouri Tigers.
Well, within 2 hours, yeah. Home next state over.
Ish.
Yeah, yeah. As close as I have to one up here. It's that or Illinois, and I ain't claiming Illinois right lately.
All right,
give us some information about them, because I haven't heard a lot about them in the off season, other than maybe a little better.
But again, why would you hear more about them? Again, head coach, former Gus GA Elijah Drinkwitz.
A Gus, you know, disciple, yeah.
It's funny, a Gus disciple coaching in the SEC, a Gus not. They were five, again, we had the weird SEC-only schedule. They were 5-5 last year, okay? How do we feel about that really, right? They returned their young quarterback, Blazelik, who people feel pretty good about, right? And Nick Bolton, you know, one of the best, they've lost Nick Bolton, who they're one of the best linebackers in the SEC, and they're a really good running back. So I think those are going to be big losses for them. You know, they're struggling, I think, to find an identity under this guy, right? Under Drinkwitz. When you think of Missouri, what do you think? Do you think they're, you know, turning the corner? So they have a good offensive identity, I think, but how do we really feel about them?
Yeah.
But they were really bad at a lot of the stuff last year. They were last in the country finishing drives on defense, which is not where you want to be.
No.
Yeah, they were one of the worst in the country offensively field position, which means like return game and coverage and all that kind of stuff. We bit them in the rear a lot. The schedule – not great. Okay. They don't put, their big non-conference game, you'll love this, is at Boston College. Who is crying out for that Missouri Boston College matchup?
Yeah, that's definitely a strange combination for sure. But I can't get on them for going to Boston College. That's fair enough. I mean, they're a big enough program. You know, they've played Notre Dame and Florida State and everything over the years, so I can't fuss at Missouri for going to Boston College. In fact, there's probably people up there that fuss at Boston College if they come to Missouri. So I don't know. I got to ask you a Missouri-related question, though, right quick. Let me pause for just a second because I want to get your opinion on this. And this is just a factual thing. I have no judgment or anything at all. I'm just curious. I was hearing them say that there's like – that in the NFL now has their first openly gay player. And I'm like, okay – I could have sworn that there was a Missouri defensive player two or three, four years ago that matched that description, and he played in the NFL, didn't he? Did I miss something? What happened with that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Again, this guy was this guy, the current guy is an established NFL player. I don't know if the Missouri guy played in the NFL or not.
Okay, I thought he was really good and was supposed to be a big deal in the NFL. I don't know. Oh, okay, well, whatever, doesn't matter. I'm just curious. Okay, so here's the thing with Missouri. Missouri to me is almost the NC State of the SEC. Meaning, I know they have a program. I know that occasionally they do something good, but I don't care, and nobody else cares. And when I think of Missouri being good, I think of 2010 and them going to the SEC. I mean, 2013, them going playing us in the SEC championship game with some really good defensive players, some really good offensive players. Since then, I have no idea what Missouri is or what they're like. I know we steamrolled them up here in 2017. Why should I think that they're even worth paying attention to?
That's a fair question, I think. Again, let me give you the last 3 years, 8-5, 6-6, 5-5.
Yeah.
Okay? Not a terribly hard schedule. Again, that Boston College game is the tough non-conference game. The others are much easier, and they got the SEC East schedule, right?
Yeah.
And so, and their road game in the West is Arkansas. So.
Oh, man.
For Missouri, stock up, down, or the same?
That's funny because their road game to the West is like closer to them than any other, than most East teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even have to travel far for that. Nope. I'm going to say Missouri is holding steady until proven otherwise.
Holding steady at mediocrity.
Yes.
That's what
yes.
We're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Next up, your Vanderbilt Commodores.
They're not mine. They're not mine, those doors. Vanderbilt is, they have a new coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Former
Notre Dame defensive coordinator, Kirk Lee.
Okay. I knew he came from somewhere. I was just trying to remember their head coach that's now our defensive coordinator has only been gone for a few months. There wasn't a whole year in between. So he just came straight down to Auburn. Right. Okay. Derek Mason. So I'm starting to sound like Philip Marshall. We don't know a lot about Vanderbilt is the thing because, again, they were kind of in their mediocre. They were mediocre for Vanderbilt there the last couple of years, and now they got a whole new regime in there. So I'm going to have to go holding steady with them too. I mean, until I have reason to think one way or the other, I'm, you know.
So last 3 years, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
6-7, 3-9. 0-9 last year.
Oh. Yeah, it's hard to go down from there. I mean, when your stock is already valueless, how do you say your stock is going to go down? Your stock has no value.
And we took their best young defensive player,
yes.
Donovan Kaufman.
That's right. You're welcome, Vandy. Didn't want you starting to get any hope. But, oh, look, Vanderbilt has a player that might give him some hope. Thank you. Sorry, Vandy. Back to hopelessness.
And this, they're... With their big non-conference game, they have Stanford at home.
Let me just go ahead and I don't have it anymore. Oh, man. I was just going to play. But they don't have. Yeah, they have no hope. I was going to say, so basically right now, I am not buying stock in Missouri. I am definitely not buying stock in Vanderbilt.
They're
just
no reason to
flatline.
Stay away.
Stay away. Okay? Make them show you something before you put your hard-earned money on them. Yes.
Okay.
Who's next? All right,
next up, the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yay! Formerly sucky Kentucky.
Formerly sucky Kentucky. Yeah. Not so sucky Kentucky in football.
No, they've been better. Give us some information. Give us some hard data, John.
They got rid of our favorite offensive coordinator, former Tuberville assistant, and replaced him with somebody named
Grand?
Liam Cohen. Yep, he's gone.
Eddie Grand's gone. Wow. Okay.
Still have Joey Gatewood.
Yep, that'll be interesting.
Still have some, you know, a couple of those offensive linemen and those good running backs.
Yep.
So, but, you know, 5-6 last year. You know, we don't love that. Mm-hmm. And then coming off years, the 2 years previously when they weren't playing an SEC only schedule, 10-3, 8-5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they're the darlings of the SEC media, it seems like. Everybody talks them up. Everybody's like, oh, Kentucky, you better look out. Here come Kentucky.
Well, I think they actually are. I mean, again, I think they're in a great spot. They're never going to win the East, I don't think.
No.
But they're not at the bottom. They've built to this stable place where I think they're steady. But again, do you think there is? Do you think they're going to make a big leap forward?
I expect this year, given that we're back to playing cupcakes again, I expect them, and I'm not looking at their schedule at all. This is just a qualitative estimation, okay? I expect them to go about 8-5 this year. And if I look at their schedule and I'm horribly wrong, like they play a lot of patsies or they play a lot of really tough teams, and I'll revise that up or down. Right now, based on last year, I would buy stock in Kentucky. I just wouldn't buy a lot of it. I would buy short-term gain and then sell it and get out when it goes up a couple of cents. You want to make a fast buck. You want to make a fast buck, jump in on Kentucky. They're not going to be 5-6 this year. They're going to be better than that just because of the non-conference, presumably. Get you some quick money and get out because it's
non-conference,
Kentucky.
Non-conference is three cupcakes in Louisville, so I like that recipe.
There you go. Yeah, see? If they do exactly like last year, they'll be like 9 wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Heck yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I like that recommendation. All right. Next up, the hated Florida Gators.
Da-dum. Da-dum. Dum, 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 dum. I always want to tell Florida, you know your mascot is not a shark, right? You do understand it's an alligator, and that's a shark movie. But, you know, I guess they figure things that like water and bite. So it all works. Florida, I think Florida in some ways kind of overachieved the last year or two.
I agree. Again,
yeah,
last 3 years, like 11-3, 10-3, 11-2, 8-2 in conference, and then ended up 8-4 because they lost the championship game to Alabama and then lost their bowl game.
Who'd they play in the bowl game? You remember?
In the bowl game, they played Oklahoma.
Ah, well, no wonder.
All Florida's good players sat out and they got smoked. Because remember, they lost everybody.
Yeah.
They had Trask and Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney. All those guys are gone.
I feel like, again, this is kind of the reverse of Kentucky. I'm selling Kentucky for now, but I'm looking to get back in once the carnage is kind of over. So I figure they're going to dip down a little bit this year. I feel like Georgia's going to beat them out on the East this year. They're going to dip down a little bit, but they'll be back. I have confidence in Mullen. I don't like it. I don't like him, but I have a little bit of confidence in him. So sell for now, but be ready to get back in when the market turns on the Gators.
That's fair. Two things of Florida. One is they lost a ton of skill position guys, and I think they'll be solid. Mullen generally puts a decent offense on the field, but they're not going to be kind of otherworldly like they were on offense. Yeah. And they violate your rule. They play at South Florida.
Oh, man. Come on. What?
Come on. Come on, man.
Well, I guess maybe that's kind of like Auburn play. Well, we don't play at UAB, for God's sake. But we played UAB when Alabama wouldn't play them. So maybe that's Florida kind of like figuring they can hurt FSU by building up South Florida.
I think it's a recruiting thing. Like we'll go in state and play this other school and we'll go get some showcase our players down there and stuff.
So. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. South Florida, they usually can score some points. They don't usually play a lot of defense. They usually can score some points, though.
Yep.
Some of the best football games I've seen the last 4 or 5 years have been Central Florida and South Florida. Pinball. That there, John, that's pinball.
All right.
Who's up?
The hated Georgia Bulldogs.
Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
Ugh. Oh, my God!
Nothing stinks like a wet dog.
That's the truth. Oh, that's, that's in... Shoot, that was 86. So that's in chapter 3, John. That's in chapter 3. There's a book
chapter update. 3 of what, you might ask?
There's a book update coming in just a few minutes. Okay. We'll get to it in just a few minutes. All right. Georgia, so what do we know?
Again, three good seasons, right? Like 12 wins, 11 wins. They went 8-2 in the conference last year. You know, they've lost to Florida. They lost to Alabama in the regular season, so they didn't play in the title game. They beat Cincinnati at the end in that bowl game. They got JT Daniels back. You know, he didn't play against Auburn last year, but after that, he came on and he kind of caught fire. So the feeling is with kind of him and Monken, maybe the offense is going to be better than it's been the last few years. Their defense still solid, still productive. You know, but only four starters back on defense. Okay, so not the same.
Well, the buzz about this team has been very good. People are saying, "Oh, this is going to be a good team. This is going to be a good team."
Again, they got I think people like Daniels. I think the people think their ceiling is much higher with him and the changes they've made on offense. They're trying to get out of that Cro-Magnon offense that Kirby put him in and kind of join the modern offense. And Daniels maybe could do that. But you know, again, other side, non-conference opener, neutral site with Clemson. Take that into consideration. So, again, very strong last 3 years, 12, 11, you know, went 8-2 last year. What is your feeling on Georgia?
They don't play Alabama this year in the regular season? I don't guess they do.
They do not.
Okay. They'll have to play Clemson. They'll have to play Florida, although that might not be so bad. They have to play us, Tennessee.
Arkansas.
Yeah. Do they get LSU?
Nope. It's us and Arkansas.
So they avoid Alabama and LSU. You know what? I'm not going to.
And Texas A&M.
And they avoid A&M. You know what? I'm not going to put a bunch of money into it, but I am cautiously buying Georgia stock.
Okay.
Cautiously buying Georgia's stock. I you know, we'll see.
All right. That's pretty good. All right. South Carolina.
Who is their coach now? I know they ran off their Muschamp in the middle of the season.
Shane Beamer.
Oh, yeah. That's the Virginia Tech coach's son, right?
Yes.
What do we know about him?
He has a great reputation. He was an assistant at Virginia Tech, then he was like an assistant at Georgia, and he's been an assistant at Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
But at none of those schools was he a coordinator.
Huh. Well, I feel like they were so bad last year that besides beating us, they you know, it was bad enough to run their coach off. So I don't want to buy any stock in South Carolina. I think they're holding steady, maybe dipping a little bit. I might be selling a few shares.
Yeah, I mean they would like, you know, 7-5, 7-5, you know, 2-8.
Yeah, that too, though.
They still play Clemson in the non-conference every year.
Yeah, maybe he'll do well, but not this year. So I'm at least in the short term, I'm selling South Carolina. Maybe in the long term, but definitely in the short term. Okay, I don't see any value in bringing it in.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of talent, you know, that you're looking at going, oh, yeah, they're going to turn it around, right? Exactly. I think they could get back to decent, but I think the schedule's so tough, it's...
Yeah. They got us again. There again, right? Maybe. 2 years in a row at Columbia.
That's right. At Columbia.
2 years. What the heck, man? 2 years in a row.
Well, I mean, again, are you ready? Here's their last five games. At A&M, Florida at home, at Missouri, Auburn, Clemson.
Boo! We play them that late in the season?
Yeah.
That's
weird. Play them. We must play them the week before we play Alabama.
Wow. Okay.
Our schedule.
All right. Okay. I guess that leaves us with Tennessee, right?
It does. The Volunteers.
I just can't make any sense out of that team over the years. They just, the last few years, they have just been all over the place. And rarely was that place very high up. They've been kind of all over the middle and the bottom.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, they've been all over the middle.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see any value in buying stock this year in Tennessee. If they're going to turn things around with their current regime, which I'm not sold on, by the way, but if they are, it'll need a couple of years. So I just think that Tennessee has got some kind of internal structural problems now that just bringing in a new coach every couple of years isn't going to fix, because they've done that and they've done it and they've done it and they've done it.
You're correct. This is the fifth Tennessee coach since 2008.
Wow.
But they think we're the trigger happy people.
Oh, right. Hey, we've said it a million times. We get accused of being quick on the trigger finger. We are not. We're quick to wave the gun around, but we don't pull the trigger but every 8 to 10 years.
That's right.
But we love to go like this.
A few warning shots in the air.
The gun has been fired. We just don't always aim it at the coach. We miss his. We take off a little bit of his ear. Take off part of his hair down the middle.
And it's, we forget it's been such a long off season. There's been a lot that's happened. But again, remember they had the terrible coaching search.
Yes.
And then they hired the AD from Central Florida to replace, you know, former head coach Phil Fulmer. He hires Josh Heupel, the Central Florida coach, away from Central Florida to be their coach. Was he great? I think people think he's a good offensive coach, but it's also like Scott Frost was the answer too when he left Central Florida. How's that working?
Oh, yeah. So, and I mean, well, at Central Florida, Frost was like 11-1 or 12-0. Heupel was like 8-5. You know, it's funny. I thought when Gus went down to Central Florida, I'm like, oh man, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna get 8-5 now. And then I looked at things and realized actually he is a step up from Heupel because Heupel had him 8-5. Gus will have him 9-4 with their schedule, with the schedule Central Florida plays, with the teams they play. When your biggest danger on your schedule is Cincinnati, that's the juggernaut. Gus trades in playing Alabama and Georgia and LSU for playing Cincinnati, so he can do the same level of achievement and be 9-4 as 8-5, you know. And that'll be an improvement for where Heupel had him. Because Heupel had him losing 5 games to Cincinnati and whatnot and who all. Yeah. So everybody wins except Tennessee in that deal.
And in the coaching search, you know, they had the whole we have NCAA violations and stuff, so that's hanging over the program. It's not going to help recruiting and all that stuff. So it's they've got a bunch of their best players transfer away. I'm selling a Tennessee. I think they may get better in the long run, but in the short run, I think they're going to be bad.
Hot take coming in. It's going to be another decade before Tennessee has a chance to be a top flight competitive SEC power again. They are down with Kentucky and South Carolina and Missouri and Ole Miss for another decade. I just think that they could hire Nick Saban and they'd be, you know, 8-4, 8-5. Something wrong there. Them boys ain't
all right. We're heading to the West.
Let's do it.
We're going to start with the Pigs.
Ah, the Piggies.
You know, Arkansas got a lot of love last year. What would you guess their record was?
The way that people talked about Arkansas last year, you would think that they were picked to go like 1-9, which they kind of were, and you'd think they finished 8-2 or 7-3. But I feel like they must have finished like 4-6 or something.
So here's the last 3 years: 2-10, 2-10,
yep,
3-7.
So a big jump up to that third win. But you know what, though? If you're going on the basis of improvement, I'm buying Arkansas.
And it was 3-7 against an SEC only schedule. There were no cupcakes in there.
Yes.
Cupcakes are back on the menu, except.
It looks like cupcakes are back on the menu, boys.
Cupcakes are back on the menu, except game 2, Texas at Arkansas.
Ooh. You know what? They'll give Texas a run for the first 2 or 3 quarters of that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a blowout.
Texas
is what we call suspect.
they got to prove it to me by beating some people.
Yep. Yeah. I think Arkansas is going to be if Arkansas is better this fall than they've been the last 3 years, and they play an easier schedule for the most part, or at least more games, and some of them are cupcakes. They could easily go like 6-6, you know, and that'd be a double of what they got last year when everybody said they're the greatest thing ever.
That's right. And again, I don't have facts to back this up.
You're right, we know.
But I think they have the most returning starters in the conference.
Eight on offense
and 9 on defense.
And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes that's a bad thing. There was a man said, if you're a losing program and you bring back all your starters, you brought back all the starters on a losing program. But I know it's better than having all rookies on a losing program.
It's fair, but also I think like they lost Felipe Franks, the quarterback who came over from Florida, and I think he really kind of steadied the ship there last year. And so without him, somebody else has got to make plays.
Absolutely. We'll see what they come up with. But no, I like their coach. I think they actually I mean, he may turn around and it would have been his victorious 3-9 campaign may have been an illusion, and they may go right back to like 2-2 and 2-10 or something. But I feel optimistic about the Pigs.
That's fair. All right, this will be short. Alabama.
But how can you get any better? I mean, they're just going to be the same. We're just waiting for them to go down.
Well, again, lost a really good offensive coordinator, went to be the head coach at Texas, right? Replaced him with Bill O'Brien, who was, you know, an NFL guy that people don't love and isn't, I don't think, on the same planet as creatively in terms of what they've been doing. But I'm sure Nick Saban's going to hand him the book and say, you're doing the same stuff. And lost a ton of offensive talent, obviously, but we've heard this song before.
Yes.
Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Devonta Smith. You know, our favorite wide receiver who torched us last year. Jalen Waddle I'm talking about.
Yes.
So lost a lot of the offensive linemen. Only three starters back on offense. But that Meshi guy is a good player. They got, the number one recruit out of California is 2 years ago is their quarterback, Bryce Young. I think your question is very fair. And again, they got a nice opening neutral site game against Miami, which
Alabama plays these people, they're always down, and we play them there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, by the time we play Miami, they're gonna be back to where they were in
the
80s and early 90s or early 2000s, and Alabama's gonna beat them, this Miami team,
like 50-0.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
All right, we're moving on. We're just waiting for Saban to cash that retirement check. That's all I'm looking for.
Cashing his chips.
All right, LSU.
They didn't do great last year, but the word on the street is, and I keep one ear, you know me, I'm a creature of the streets, John. I keep one ear to the streets at all times, is that they're going to be a lot better this year. The talent is there. Supposedly they've gotten some of their coaching situation straightened out. They were so great in 19 and they just dropped off. They did like what we did from 2010 to 2012, they did in 1 year. So is this going to be their 13 or is this going to be more of a 14 or a 15 for them compared to us,
Yeah. Or are they still like an 11?
Yeah.
I think the thing that they did is they didn't hesitate. Things went bad last year. Both coordinators are gone.
That's it.
They tried to get guys who are, they're not the same, but they tried to go in the direction of what worked for them in 2019, right? They tried to hire guys that were in that direction. But
they tried to pull a Tuberville.
Yeah. I think Orgeron is doing that kind of stuff. His rear end was singed a little bit last year.
Yeah.
The glow of the national title faded, very quickly.
Boom.
Chizik-ish. The Chizik comparison is 100% alive and well, I think.
Yeah.
So I think it's real. Again, they had two great years before that. Last year, they were 5-5. And I think they'll be better, but tough schedule.
Of course, we have to go down there.
Yes, of course. But they play at Ole Miss, at Alabama. They get A&M at home. In the East, they always play Florida. They have to play at Kentucky, kind of a weird one for them. And their opening game is at UCLA, which is Chip Kelly.
I've got an interesting LSU factoid for you. I found this out while working on the book. Everybody knows the last time we won in Baton Rouge was 1999, Tuberville's first year. How many times has Auburn won in Baton Rouge since Jordan-Hare Stadium opened?
Oh, well, I know that we did not play LSU every single season in that time period.
Nope.
Only since the SEC split into divisions and we got put in the same division with them. We did not play them every year before that. We did not play them that often before that. So I'm going to say 3.
The answer is 3. One of those, Tommy Tuberville, 1999. I mean, since Jordan-Hare Stadium was built, we've beaten them three times. 1939. Since 1939, we've beaten them three times in Baton Rouge. One of them was 1999 with Tuberville. And let me interrupt myself before I reveal the other two, because it'll blow your mind. We got onto our coaches since Tuberville, and including him, for losing down there all the time. But his one win down there is more than anybody else got since we've had a stadium. And, you know, when Gus failed to win down there, that put him in the company with every other Auburn coach except two since 1939. The other coach to beat them in Baton Rouge was Terry Bowden, who did it twice.
Terry Bowden, he's Baton Rouge.
1993, I was there, and 1997 with Damian Craig.
Well, I just want to point out, who were the opposing coaches those matches?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess 93 was Curly Hallman, since he was there in 94 for the interception game.
It was Curly Hallman, and then the other one, was it DiNardo?
DiNardo for both of the other ones, yeah. 97 and 99. And, of course, we specialize in getting LSU coaches fired, so Curly Hallman was fired after 94, losing to us, and DiNardo was fired after 99, getting blown out, shellacked by us, 41-7. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting, though, that the only times we've beaten them in Baton Rouge have been in the 1990s, 93, 97, 99. That's it. So, yeah, I'm going to buy LSU stock, but just because it's so cheap right now. You know what I mean? I'm not – and I think for the long term, it's a safe investment, too. But I feel like it's going to go up.
Orgeron is on the Chizik train, and he ain't getting off. in case you missed it, there was a story this week that he covered up sexual assault by one of his former running backs. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I did hear
that's
about
not
that.
Going away. Like, that stuff is – when you're losing and that stuff's coming out, too, no mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's blood in the water there, really.
Wow.
All right. Next up, the Fighting Jimbos of Texas A&M University.
Cali Dogs, Texas A&M. It's hard to imagine their stock going up from last year. One loss with an all-SEC schedule. But I don't think they can go 11-1 at all. So I'm sitting on my A&M stock. But I do think in the next couple, 3 years, it'll start going back down again. I don't see them becoming a perennial challenger for Alabama at the very top. I think they're going to be more like us, more like LSU. They'll be good a couple of years and then mediocre a couple of years and good a couple of years. But they're not going to be up there 11-1 every year. There's just no way. So I'm just going to sit on my A&M stock and kind of see what happens.
I think they have legitimately built themselves into the second best team in the division right now. I think they're better than LSU. I think they have better coaching staff than LSU. And they have a lot of talent on the roster. So that's just my view of them right now. I think they're very steady at a high level. I don't think there's any danger of them surpassing Alabama. But I think they're solid. I don't think they're dropping off a cliff tomorrow. Schedule's tough, but it's not insane. They've lost, our friend Kellen Mond, but they got a lot of good players still. So, a lot of returning starters, especially on defense. I think they're going to be pretty solid. We'll do the Mississippi schools real quick. Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, they scare me because I don't want Ole Miss to be good, and I don't want them to be compelling, and I don't want them to be a story. And yet they've got a little flash, a little excitement. It bugs me because what's giving them that is something I wouldn't want for my program. It's something I look at and go, puh. And so it annoys me that so many other people look at it and go, ooh, sexy. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, it's not. It's not sexy. No.
Yeah, I think they're sizzle and not steak, right?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I mean, they're flashy on offense. They're explosive, but it doesn't make them a good team. They still went 5-5. They returned Corral and some other good players, but they lost some great players also. And I don't think the defense is going to be dramatically better overnight. So I don't think that, it's turning around. I don't think they're going to be you know, jump up and you know, upset a bunch of people and do a bunch of damage.
No, I think that, again, they're going to score a lot of points and lose. And so I'm...
A lot of 50 to 40 losses.
Yeah, I feel like their stock is artificially inflated, and I actually think this is a good time to sell it because you can get more for it than it's actually worth. That's when you sell it, is when you think it's going for more than it's actually worth. So I'm selling.
So you think they're crypto.
Yeah, okay.
Old Miss is crypto.
Yeah. People are buying it, artificially inflating it, but get something out of it while you can because it may be going through the basement pretty soon.
All right, Mississippi State.
I'm a student of that coach and that program, the Hal Mummy approach, the air raid, but Leach is just, I don't think he's going to, I mean, if you look at Washington State, he never dominated there. He had a mildly competitive a couple of times. He puts up some good passing yard numbers, and he goes out and loses to teams that they shouldn't lose to. So, I mean, I feel like at Mississippi State, Mike Leach is always going to be 6-6, 7-5. I'm selling while people still think he's got some mojo.
I've liked his defensive coordinator, Arnett. I think he's a good coach. I think they did some good stuff on that side. They had played two cupcakes. Or no, not even two cupcakes. They played one cupcake, and then they played Louisiana Tech, NC State, and at Memphis. And again, I get it. Like, at Memphis is a big, you know, it's a regional thing and stuff. But playing on the road, a team in that conference, not a great look. Again, same thing Florida's doing. And, you know, you added some tough games to the schedule, right? You got NC State and Memphis are not pushovers, and you still got the SEC schedule. So I'm not crazy about it, Mississippi State.
No, not at all. I think it's just like Ole Miss. They've got a name coach, but I don't think they're going to be that much better. And I think you sell that stock while you can still get some value out of it because it's not going to get any higher. Well, that leaves a little team from a little town in East Alabama, doesn't it?
It does.
Woo!
Alabama Polytechnical Institute.
API. Hail. Well, we don't – another mystery. I mean, you know what? The answer to this one, to the riddle of Auburn – it's like the riddle of steel for Conan the Barbarian. The riddle of Auburn is, do you think that Harsin and his staff and his approach represent improvement over what we had before, and or do they represent immediate improvement? Then you cross-reference that with our schedule. So I think compared to last year, relatively compared to 2019, I think we're going to be about the same this fall. But long term, I'm buying because I feel like this is going to be a turnaround. This is a great big ship that takes a long time to turn around. It may take a season or so to turn around. But Pat Dye went 5-6 his first year. Tommy Tuberville went 5-6 his first year. They turned it around for a while. So I feel like the boat may still be turning this fall, but in a couple of years, we'll be scooting along.
Amen.
All right.
So instead of row the boat, it's going to be turn the boat.
Turn the boat. Don't get it stuck like in the Suez Canal. That's Tennessee. Tennessee River is the Suez Canal. The Vol Navy's all kind of sideways across the Tennessee River for the last 10 years.
I like it.
Yeah. So, isn't it funny, by the way, that Vanderbilt up there are the Commodores, yet Tennessee's the one that's got the Navy? That's just weird. That's like if Alabama had an eagle habitat. If Georgia Tech had a bulldog repository or something, you know. It's just odd. Okay, well, anyway. What do you think about Auburn? Are you buying, selling, or holding?
I like the way you put it. Again, I think we needed a things were stale. They needed to be shaken up. They were shaken up. I don't know. Did you listen to I think Nathan King interviewed Brandon Marcello a couple weeks ago after Marcello had interviewed Brian Harsin. And you should go back and listen to that. There's a couple of good things in that. There was an off-season, he talked about off-season workout, players showing up late. And I think there was some, if you're great, you can get away with stuff, maybe. So we'll see. But I am optimistic about, I think offensive football has changed and we weren't changing with it and we needed to change with it. And I think Carson understands where it's going and how to get there. So that's the part I'm excited to see.
Yeah. All right. So that was our buying stock SEC edition.
We didn't buy a lot.
We didn't. Well,
we stayed away from a lot, but I think that's the smart way to invest right now.
We did. All right. So let's get a book update from Van. Thank you, Van. The book is rolling right along, John. The book is We Believed, A Lifetime in the... We changed the subtitle. It is We Believed, A Lifetime of Auburn Football. And I want to tell everybody, we changed it because the podcast, you already know when you come to our podcast that we're going to talk about Auburn football. So the podcast was named A Lifetime in the Auburn Family to show that we weren't just talking about football. We were also talking about other stuff, about our lives and how it's intersected with football. And I thought that worked really well for the podcast. But then it dawned on me the other day, people just seeing the book on the shelf, they don't know it's about football. So if they see We Believe, A Lifetime in the Auburn Family, they're going to think it's like autobiography of us talking about everything but football. So I changed it to A Lifetime of Auburn Football. So it has the words Auburn Football in great big orange letters on the cover. And by the way, I'm going to... as soon as I finish the interior revision editing, I'm going to post the cover on Patreon and get some feedback from our patrons what they think about the cover. So, and if they don't like it, then they're banned and can never comment again. No, I'm just kidding. The book is currently 456 pages. That's still up in the air because it's gained 6 pages since I started editing, and I've done a lot of reformatting to it. And I'm much happier with it now. And I'm on 369. So I got less than 100 pages to go of copy editing and kind of just, you know, I'm just going in and fixing all the verb tenses from our dialogue. I'm going through and adding a few clips here and there and just trying to clean it up a little bit, format it to make it a little nicer. So, but it just is taking it's taken basically the entire months of May and June to do that. So it's just been one of those things. But we're getting it there. And it will... My goal right now is to get that done by the end of June, so I got 2 more days to wrap that up, and then hopefully in July it'll be all set to publish, and it'll be out in August. That is the plan. We got to thank our patrons for all that they have done to make this kind of thing possible, which means that I am juggling 15 different screens right now, but I've got to open up that page so that I can... that didn't work out. Hold on just a second. If you want to help keep programs like this on the air, I don't know if you caught my announcement the other day, John. I made an announcement. I said I want to add a new podcast channel just for movie reviews, and I want to go through and review like the greatest movies of all time. I want to go through and talk about all of our favorite movies one at a time using our new formula we've been using. This is the formula Andy and I use on the B5 show. It's the formula that I've used on some DragonCon panels, but you and I haven't really used it yet. We talked about using it on a Wishbone show. I want to do that, but there's no way that we can pay for 5 podcast channels and have any money left over for equipment and new microphones and all that kind of stuff. So what I said was, if we can get our patrons up to 150, if we can get 150 patrons, I will open up a 5th podcast channel where you and I and anybody else we want to have jump on can review the greatest fun movies of all time. Does that sound good to you? Does that sound like something that you'd be up for, sir? John is giving us the thumbs up.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So we'll
I have thoughts and feelings about movies.
Yes, I know. That's why I thought you'd like it. You and I have reviewed plenty of movies on the White Rocket show.
And it really, you haven't told everybody this, but really it's going to be you and I reviewing Kingdom of Heaven 37 times in a row.
This is true.
So, if you want to make that happen, go to www.auwishbone.com. See, the thing is, a lot of you already are, and that's awesome. And we don't want to lose any of you. We just need to add a few more folks so we're able to do it. And I think I've calculated if we get up to 150, I can add another channel, and it won't affect our bottom line of being able to pay our other existing expenses. So go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, become a patron for as little as $1 a month, and you can help us keep this show on the air and help me and John start our new movie show, which will be a lot of fun. All right. We have to thank the folks who are currently doing that very thing, because without them, we wouldn't have any of these shows. And of course, they include Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Christopher Burleson, Samuel Salvatore, and Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kanjian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Chris, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, Eric Morgan, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Richie, we got to get better at celebrating, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris the Hilton, the Big Three, Colby Butler, plus Danny Flack, and Darius Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, any day now would be great, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kanoy, Kevin Mahan, Christian Thorvaldson, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Algorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Tony Perry, 76 Tiger, staying alive, Alex Nguyen, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Riggis, Brandon Smith, Charles Mooney, Chris Cummo, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Kathy Bright, Kenneth Brent Rains, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, and finally, Mick Vigicana, Paul Bankson, Public Land Owner, Robert Drain, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Brant Rumble, Chris, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button. Help us get to 150 to start our new movie review show, because we do not do ads. We depend entirely on you, our listeners. You don't have to hear us talk about gambling. You don't have to hear us talk about, like, male enhancement drugs. You don't have to hear us talk about all those things you get on the other podcasts. You just hear us talk about Auburn football. And now it's time for Jared's beloved Guess the Game segment. You ready to play Guess the Game, John?
Bring it on.
Man, I have to redeem myself because I screwed us up. I screwed us up last week so bad. Oh, man, I got fixated on what I thought it was, and I was what we call in the business wrong. So here we go. Let's see if we can make up for what I did horribly last week. Here comes Jared.
Who can it be now?
Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game, episode 18. All right, we got a pretty long clip for you this time. This was sent in by our old friend Jay Nall over on the Twitters. Appreciate the send-in, Mr. Nall. So, let's just get right to it. Again, a little lengthy, so it's plenty to work with here.
Auburn's going to bring a blitz. Quick throw out to who? Guess who? Weaving through and to the end zone. Touchdown.
That didn't look good at the end of the play either. He got dragged down. His leg was underneath him. He got the ball in the end zone, I think, for a touchdown. But that was an ugly end to the play for
the. And we're checking here to see if the ball crossed the plane. It may not have. And that's the only reason we showed you that replay again, is to see whether or not it was a touchdown. So.
Possession of the ball prior to making the goal line. Therefore, with a fumble, the ball is recovered by Auburn. It was only a touchdown.
It's Auburn football.
All right, Van and John, what do you got? I'll catch you in the hint file.
You have any thoughts, John, immediately about that?
Well, again, it was one of the ESPN crews that we've had on some night games the last 4 or 5 years. I remember the play, but I couldn't tell you what game, what season. It's not coming to me right now. So, what do you got?
All right. I can't remember the opponent or the season, but I remember who made the tackle. So, that might help you help me help you help me. Okay. That was either South Carolina or Ole Miss when they had that really good receiver that was killing us in that game. And then we tackled him on the goal line of making the winning touchdown and caused him to fumble, but he also just like ruined his knee and they carried him off the field.
That was Ole Miss.
And it was Chris Frost, I believe.
Yeah, that was, I don't know if it was Frost, but that was the end of the game and it broke that guy's leg or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was a terrible play, but he did fumble and Auburn did recover.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was Ole Miss probably. So it was there. It was in Oxford. And we played there last year, right? So in 20. So even years we're playing there. So I'm going to say it was 16.
I'm leaning 14. Eight.
I don't think it was 14. I think it was after that.
Well, let me tell you why. I'm not married to it, but let me tell you why I think it was 14. 14 was the year that Mississippi State and Ole Miss were both in like the top five, which is unnatural and against God, but there they were. And we went over and lost to Mississippi State, but we were still winning otherwise. And they were like number one or something insane when we lost to them.
Yeah.
And then we were still like, we were ranked in the top five because we'd only lost that one game going back to, you know, losing the BCS to Florida State. And then we beat Ole Miss over there. But I feel like that was like the last game that we really did well in. And after that, we had the Texas A&M debacle where we butt snapped, you know, and the season just ended in kind of a disaster. So I feel like this was the last win other than like Alabama State or something that season.
I don't think that was the same game. I think that was a different game.
Okay. All right. So you're going to say 16?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to say 14.
It may even be 18, to be honest.
Okay.
I think it might be 18.
All right. I'm going to say 14. You say one of the later years. Let's hear the clue.
I'm going to say 18 maybe.
All right, let's hear the clue then. Any second now. There it is.
All right, John Van, you have arrived in the hint file, so let's listen to that with no bleeps.
Auburn's going to bring a blitz. Quick throw out to Hoon. Guess who? Treadwell weaving through and to the end zone. Touchdown. Ouch.
That didn't look good at the end of the play either. He got dragged down. His leg was underneath him. He got the ball in the end zone, I think, for a touchdown. But that was an ugly end of the play for Laquon Treadwell.
And we're checking here to see if the ball crossed the plane. Oh, it may not have. And that's the only reason we showed you that replay again, is to see whether or not it was a touchdown.
Possession of the ball, trying to make it to the goal line. Therefore, with a fumble, the ball is recovered by Auburn.
It's Auburn football.
I think it might all be coming back to you now. Let's find out when I see you in the answer file.
All right. Does that clarify anything, or just leave it basically what we thought?
It's what we thought. It's Treadwell, Ole Miss. It's at Ole Miss. I think it's 16 or 18.
I was hoping that they would say who the defensive player was. That would have helped.
Yeah, I that's what I wanted. I want the name of a defensive player.
Yeah.
Right? That would have helped. But we didn't get any.
If he said, and Coach Barfield is coming out on the field now, I'd be like, well, there went that theory. all right, you ready to hear the answer? I'm going all in on 14. Of course, I went all in last week, too, and we saw how that came out.
I'm going to go 16.
All right, here we go. Let's see who was right.
Okay, fellas, if you guys guessed that this was Auburn playing Ole Miss in 2014, then that's a darn good guess. And let me tell you something. Going back and watching the highlights from this game, that was a darn good game. Well-fought battle. But, of course, we want to point out that we take no pleasure in the tough tackle and the injury to Treadwell there at the end of the play.
No,
but it was definitely memorable as Ole Miss was about to get their go-ahead touchdown, only to have the ball fumbled at the half-yard line. Tremendous defensive stand, but again, we're definitely not celebrating the injury to a great player like Treadwell. Once again, that was sent in by Jay Nall. Thanks, Jay Nall. And if you'd like to send in an idea for Guess the Game, you can send them directly to me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. It is all at Yard Sale Artist. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Yard Sale Artist. Back to you, Van and John, and War Eagle. Look at me now.
right. Well, I got a little redemption.
You did. I'm just glad you'd leap in and say, I know it. I know it.
I learned my lesson. At least for 1 week, I learned my lesson about being too overconfident. So I felt like that, but it's good to know I got a little mojo still. So, all right.
And thanks, Mr. Knoll, for the submission. That was a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I like the ones that are interesting, and we have to kind of do some deduction. That's good. And Jared's very good at coming up with the right audio to make it work well. So good deal. And Jared, we always appreciate you for doing those. So I know it's not easy to put those things together every week, and we really appreciate it because folks really do enjoy it. All right. Have we any of the questions from the listeners?
We have a question again.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. What do we got this week?
I want to point out that a friend of the podcast, Willie Carden, says he keeps failing to send in his question, but now he's got like a booked length question. And I'm just like, Willie, send it. Okay. Just send what you got. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm asking. All right. So our question this week is from friend of the podcast, Auburn Elvis.
Yes.
Where he says, John Van, I keep hearing all these projections about how every team on Auburn's schedule is basically going to win the NFC South next year. What's going on? All those teams can't be that good, right? Talk us Auburn fans off the ledge. Hmm. And then he has a follow-up, a different question after that. Do you want to say something about the first question?
Well, I mean, the SEC West in particular, and then Georgia and Florida, I mean, it's no secret that there's just enormous pressure for those programs to keep being good. And so, no, they can't all win the NFC South or whatever. I agree, but if one of them falters a little bit, they're going to fire the coach and bring in some new hot shot, and they're going to be right back up again. So even though they can't all go 12-0 every year, the level of competition is just such on a continuous basis that you can't take a breath, you can't falter a little bit. Or, you know, this is one of the reasons we've seen that Auburn either is up or is down. We have very little middle, is because we're either competitive with the best teams or we're not. And when we're not a good, program. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a mystery other than just that there's this much pressure on everybody. In other words, a few years ago, some programs in the SEC, the fan base would be like, we went 7-5 this year. We went 6-6. That's fine. We're good. But now it's like everybody demands 12-0. Everybody. Maybe not Vanderbilt, but almost everybody demands 12-0, and so they're willing to pay that big money. You know, it's just amazing to think about how much money Pat Dye made in the 80s compared to, like, the Vanderbilt coach today or something. It's absolutely unbelievable. So that's my thought. I don't know.
My thought is it's the off season, and people are going to say positive things now. I think every program, is it going to move in an upward trajectory all the time? So
that's a good point.
That's kind of my thought. So I think, it's going to be okay. It's a tough schedule like it always is, but it's not that tough. And then his second part of his question is, also, what new details can you give us on either the barbecue show or the road trip? Have you thought of any ways that patrons can get involved? Auburn Elvis.
Well, I'll let you talk about the road trip. As far as the barbecue show, I guess we're just going to have to find a weekend. We're going to have to find a Monday night as we get a little closer to the season that we can set up and do it. And like I said, we both got trips coming up. So we'll just have to look at the calendar, but it should be fun as always. What do you know that you can share right now with our road trip?
Here's what I know. Van and I are going to College Station, Texas.
Woo-hoo!
First weekend in November, we are going to the Texas A&M game. We will be traveling to the game, getting there, cruising around College Station on Friday. So if this is the ask, if you have suggestions for us, things to see on campus, things to see on game day, places to eat in the area, especially we are barbecue connoisseurs.
Yes.
So some barbecue places in that area that you would say you should go eat this. That's what we want to know.
I want to gain 20 pounds before I come back home.
In 3 days or whatever.
Yes.
20 pounds of Texas barbecue.
Well, then 21, 7 pounds a day. I'll work it out.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, eating barbecue. So.
Amen. It's a good plan.
So that
that's the plan. We're very excited about it. We haven't done anything like this before, and we're going to try to create some fun content. But also, like, if you're going to be there, let us know that too, and we'll say hi. So.
Yeah, and you might even end up on our video or whatever. We're going to do some audio recording for like a podcast for this show, and we're going to do some audio recording for another show. And we're going to do some video recording to kind of do a little. I haven't decided yet how. I mean, I'll probably just put it up on YouTube. I may put it up on the Patreon page for a couple of weeks first, just to give them, you know, since they pay for the trip, basically they're enabling us to be able to do it. Give them a little reward, or we might like what I'll probably do is make like a long version that they'll get early, and then like a regular shorter version that everybody gets to see, and then I'll put the longer version out later or something. I want the patrons to get a little something early extra. But I'm planning on filming a lot of video stuff and put it together, kind of like if you've seen the Men in Kilts show. That is the inspiration, where they're just riding around, you know, Scotland, just talking, just hanging out, looking at stuff, checking things out, you know, eating, drinking, having a good time, and getting it all on video. And that's kind of my plan, so we'll see. I'll probably go the whole weekend and forget to turn the camera on.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time, and we're going to watch a good football game. We're going to go cheer for Auburn. That's what
there
it's
you
about.
Go. That's it. Sounds good to me.
All right. And neither one of us have ever been there before. That's no. The other thing that's exciting about that city. So.
Yeah, I've been to most of the SEC venues, but I've never been to College Station, being a newer SEC venue. So I'm looking forward to this. That pretty much leaves Tuscaloosa and I can't think what else I've never been to now. I think I've been to all of them but Tuscaloosa now. Oh, Arkansas. Haven't been to Arkansas. So one of these days. All right.
Not losing sleep about that one yet.
No, I'm not losing sleep over that one. That's fine. Any other questions? No, that's it?
That is it.
All right. And I don't guess we have any around the SEC. Do you have a Orgeron in trouble update? We already talked about that.
We talked about it.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we're set. All right. So we will have some more updates for you on our trip as soon as we have them. I did book my flight, so it's happening. It's on. My flight to Texas is booked, John. It is in the books. I paid for it. So there we go.
We're going.
And again, I'll hopefully have our book done, my last parts of it, this week. And that'll be all wrapped up. So it'll be going on sale in August. And believe me, I will let everybody know when that book is ready. All right. Any other thoughts?
Yeah. Have a wonderful, safe 4th of July weekend.
Yep.
Light some fireworks on fire, blow some stuff up, but safely.
Don't blow off your hand. Don't set your house on fire. Otherwise, have fun.
Don't set your neighbor's house on fire.
That'd probably be a good thing, too. You know what, John? Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.